politics. I find it so easy to be distressed, worried, frustrated, outraged about the misinformation coming out of the other side. When it came out that our president was wanting to open an investigation into a conspiracy theory about the Bidens, one that had been debunked by dozens of respectable sources, I was dumbfounded and aghast. How could this possibly be? What kind of political game was it? Did he really believe these stories? Or is this all political machinations? Somewhere deep inside, I was afraid he really does believe these stories, because I think he is heavily influenced by the drama and craziness of that whole world of insanity. Because of the insanity that I felt increasing its hold in our society for untold years now, I personally have become more diligent in digging deeper into the details of such stories and their sources before forming an opinion. A few years ago, when the whole subject of GMOs started to become really controversial, I was walking into a Trader Joe's in Westlake, where a group was at the door with petitions. A woman asked me to sign one objecting to the use of GMOs, all of them. And I replied that I was not done doing my research, so I wasn't ready to sign the petition yet. And she gasped, threw her arms down at her side, and glared at me as I entered the store, turning her entire body to watch me enter, as if to say that doing research was unnecessary and that we should all know that they were all bad. I wonder to this day if she knew that GMOs were not a new occurrence and had actually been around since the early 90s. And for me, doing that research, whether I finally decided GMOs are good or bad, or good sometimes and bad others, is not necessarily a bad choice. Information is not our enemy. Information is just information. For me, it is an imperative that helps me navigate a complex world full of conflicting opinions, false narratives, both blatant and innocent untruths, and misunderstandings. I needed information to know what the entire situation was around GMOs. And I felt distrusted for the need to do research. Sometime last year, Mr. Trump had been accused of one of his many misdeeds. As a friend and I were discussing it, I remarked, I would be interested to hear more so that I could get a better idea of what's true. My friend replied, "You know he did it." Right there is where I hesitate now. Even though I believe he is capable of wrongdoing and untruths, I hold myself in distrust, but not in conviction. I try to remember, even when I am feeling outraged and dramatic, innocent until proven guilty. I have to hold tighter to our country's noble vision, precisely because the authoritarians and despots are trying to hide truth behind rhetoric and conspiracy theories. If I stand in truth and don't get wrapped up in the drama on my side of the fence, I feel better able to calmly withstand the crazy from the other side. I have taken to restraining my opinion until significant facts or testimony or evidence are available. That doesn't mean I'm being naive or giving the benefit of the doubt. It means I can distrust but not convict. I am feeling very challenged with the intense drama from the past few days. The situation brings tears to my eyes, so I feel sorrow, but withhold my judgment. Holding myself in the in-between is sometimes difficult Frankly, it would be easier for me to be outraged. I distrust the talking points and the version of events as presented, but I trust that more details will be revealed soon. I can hope that reliable sources will have clearer information. Already, as I write this, the noble among the press are stepping up and digging in. My psyche and my heart are a little healthier if I hold my judgment until I have clearer information. It gives me the space to see situations with more nuance, more shades of gray, and that gives life more dimension and makes people more human. Integrity, of course, affects all my relationships, but it is really about my relationship with myself. It confirms who I am and who I want to become, that what I believe about myself can be true. It is also my guidepost showing me where to focus my inner work, my healing, my spiritual practice, my education. At the best of times, it is the guidepost for all aspects of myself. Everything I believe about myself reflected in my actions. Oh my, do I wish that were true. But my ego gets in the way, my insecurities, my doubts, depression, pain, sickness, life. I certainly falter. I get wrapped up in the drama sometimes and righteousness, or fall into the old family origin nonsense where integrity was used to prove your superiority. Oh, what a tangled web that was. If I believe myself to be a generous person, to have integrity, my actions, the way I live my life must support that belief to my satisfaction. It means all the regular stuff like tithing to Chalice and donating to charities and political candidates. And of course, it means giving generously of my time. But here's where I need some work. It also means that I am not available to be generous. Let me try that again. I lost my place. It also means not giving so much of my time to work and to charity that I am not available to be generous with my time at home. Balance in my life would allow me to also be generous with myself and my husband, and I think he might like that. I am available for my friends when they truly need me, when they truly need something. But for the past few years, I have not been as available as I would like to be to go to lunch, to work out, to hang around, to have coffee. They know that to be true. I understand I have had a lot on my plate. I also know that I keep myself overly busy because I am just plain uncomfortable with free time. I am still searching for that balance so that I can choose multiple ways to be generous with my time, with myself, my husband, my family, my friends, Chalice, and work. Do I make mistakes? All the time. Am I too tired sometimes? Yep. Do I do my best? Yes, I do, even when others don't agree or understand. And boy, my children really don't understand a lot of what I choose to do. Because it allows me to honor myself, to know what I believe, and to see things more clearly, because I've taken a little bit of the drama out of the way, standing in my integrity helps me to learn and see things more clearly.
I did not want to write this. I tried writing 5 other sermons, and each one of them would have been easier for all of us. But living with integrity means making the best choice, which isn't always the easiest. So I'm here at this pulpit regardless. I decided to share because I'm honoring what feels right and honest within myself. It's a great challenge to honor who I am in this congregation. This room is full of people, many of whom I deeply care for and I'm friends with. but in many ways, my life is very different from most of yours. I believe that we need to acknowledge our differences before we can fully embrace how similar and connected we are. I'd like to share my experience of what it's like to be here. I'm transgender. I want to make this very clear. I am a young man. It might be easier for you to consider me as such now that my voice is deepening, and it's no longer what you would see as what you would think of as a girl's. Being transgender doesn't make me any less male. If you think differently, you need to question your idea of what it means to be a man. I'll be straightforward. Some people are focused on the genitalia of transgender people and can't see beyond this. For me, personally, this is creepy and dehumanizing. It's also my lived reality and ways I don't want to disclose. I used to confuse some people, right? Were you unsure of what gender I was? People like me force you to question gender roles and stereotypes about gender identity. But when people assume what gender I am, it sometimes results in me being misgendered, being referred to as she and as a girl. When someone misgenders me, I have to decide if I want to address the mistake or ignore it. I have to choose if I want to out myself as transgender, which can put me in an unsafe situation, or pretend to be someone else and suppress who I really am. I grow tense when I hear someone say her or she in my presence. I'm not sure who they're referring to, because I immediately assume I'm being misgendered and prepare myself to react. There are many things I could share about in regards to being transgender at this moment in time. I'm focusing on what happens when I'm misgendered because it's something so simple, done so easily, and often yet so profound in impact. Misgendering separates me from everyone else. It burns and makes my heart ache, even if it's accidental. To be honest, I hate it because I'm ashamed of being transgender, and misgendering just brings attention to it. A large part of me loathes that I'm transgender. It causes me pain, sometimes viscerally. A church congregation is supposed to be a place where one feels safe, whole, and accepted. The last place I want to be misgendered is here. I didn't choose to be transgender. I don't think anyone would choose to endure the life we have to lead. I have to fight to live. I have to battle for other people to respect my autonomy. Transgender people have no basic civil rights in this country. The least you, as allies, can do is refer to someone who's transgender with the right pronouns. I first came out as transgender about 5 years ago. Soon after I came out, someone here at Chalice came up to me and said that they accept me. That was kind of them. But then they told me that if their child was transgender, they wouldn't be supportive if their child wanted to medically transition. A medical transition is different from transitioning. A person transitions from presenting as one gender to another. How you present yourself means the way you dress, cut your hair, and other features related to gender expression. Medical transition refers to a transgender person who has hormone replacement therapy, taking testosterone or estrogen, or choosing to undergo surgeries that allow them to have a body that resembles and functions in the same way as a cisgender person. Some transgender people choose to begin this process, but many people can't afford any of these treatments or surgeries, and most insurance companies don't cover them. Our current administration is doing much to make it impossible for transgender health care, including mental health, not to be covered by Medicare. It's possible the person who made that comment to me didn't know the impact of their words. If my mom and step-parent weren't supportive of my own medical transition, I don't think I'd be standing at this pulpit and speaking to you all. I would be another LGBTQ youth lost to suicide. LGBTQ youth are 5 times more likely to attempt suicide than heterosexual youth. According to the Trevor Project, 40% of transgender adults reported attempting suicide, and 92% of those individuals reported that they attempted suicide before the age of 25. It's hard to be me. I was asked to consider the role of a female character in a recent community forum play. In typical circumstances, it's fine for actors to play someone of another gender. I can't play a female role for fear that it would encourage people to think of being transgender as something I can choose. I can't discard being transgender at will, or become cisgender when it's convenient. If I could, I would. To be asked made me feel like I wasn't seen as the gender I am. It showed a lack of sensitivity about why you don't ask transgender actors to portray their opposite gender. As we all assume by looking around, Chalice is not racially diverse, and all of us are loving and have the best of intentions. It's often the actions we don't think about, small comments, blanket statements, and assumptions that reveal there's more inner work that needs to be done regarding race. No one's going to discriminate against me based on my skin color. I pass as white, but I'm mixed race and Latino. My mom raised me in a household that's a mix of many different cultures, but the most prevalent is our Mexican and Latino background. But when my family and I come here to Chalice, it seems like it's assumed that our experiences are the same because our skin isn't darker and because we don't have obvious accents. We need to have conversations about our different pasts, or you'll continue to make assumptions that erase who we are and where we come from. All the actions I talked about before, assumptions, misgendering, hurtful comments, are just words, but words have so much power. I shared about my personal experiences as a transgender person in this community. It was difficult, but if I didn't do it, I wouldn't be honest with you all. I invited you to listen to with integrity, and I encourage you to continue to listen and ask questions from a place of integrity in the future. This is how we can grow as a congregation.